This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a win over the Chicago Bears that clinched an NFC North Division title. Quite an exciting game, an exciting comeback for the Packers. Packers clinch the division and qualify for the NFL playoffs. Talk about the game. To talk about all that, we have us joining us on the show this morning, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Brian?
Good. Glad you could join us. Talking about this big 33-28 win for the Packers yesterday. I want you, Pete, to evaluate the play of Aaron Rodgers for me. Here's a guy who had two interceptions and a fumble in this game, but is that all forgiven because he directed a game-winning drive on the road to win a division championship?
Sure. You know, that's, the main thing is to deliver a victory for those guys. You know, in the first half he was okay, but he wasn't quite as sharp. In the second half, he was running that no-huddle offense, and I don't know. It looked to me like he was the same old guy in the second half. You know, there's probably four or five plays he made where he breaks the pocket and he throws maybe a 15 or 20 yard pass and he throws a dart, and it's just like, you know, haven't seen that for 2 months. And you know, he was the difference, basically. There's no way they win that game, I don't think, with Matt Flynn at quarterback, because Chicago, you know, they can put up points, and they have a lot of offensive talent. And, the big thing was, you know, that last play, that one obviously won the game, and it was his ability to get out of the pocket that did it, because, you know, I thought it was a smart play by the Bears. I'm not sure what you thought, Brian, but I thought it was a smart play by the Bears. The blitz, 3rd and 8's long enough where the hot read probably won't get the first down. And it was only Rodgers' ability to get outside the pocket and give time for the receivers to get open downfield that, you know, that made the play. And I'm not sure there's a lot of guys in the league who could have made that play.
Yeah, I have to agree. Does Aaron Rodgers' reputation, or I don't know if you want to call it that. Some people say he hasn't been able to direct those fourth quarter game-winning drives. Does that die here in that drive that was kind of one for the ages with, you know, 3 fourth downs converted?
That was funny. I did the chat last night, our online chat, and a few people were asking that. For some people, it probably quiets them. I'm sure there are some. You know, the record is what it is, and he's had a lot of games where he hasn't, or several games where he hasn't brought them back. So I'm sure some other people will want to see it a couple more times before they're convinced. You know, he can probably make an argument that he's a little cautious, and that might be why he hasn't had as many comebacks as, like, Favre or Brady has. But his record's so good and he's won so many games. I mean, I still just think it's more a statistical anomaly than anything.
Another guy who missed the past 2 months was Rodgers' target on that game-winning touchdown, Randall Cobb. Now the Packers appear to kind of be limiting Cobb's snaps just coming back from injury. Do you think there's any reason to limit his snaps in the playoffs considering the way he played on Sunday?
I wouldn't think so. He looked like he was moving fine. They like to acclimate the guy's body to playing football. I think if this had been, you know, if the season were longer, they would have held him out for one more week, but there was no reason to hold him. They needed to win now. And he was medically cleared, but they still like to give him a couple weeks physically just to get used to playing football. I bet we'll see a really healthy dose of Randall Cobb next week.
How much credit does John Kuhn deserve for his role in the game-winning drive, converting that 4th and 1, and then picking up Julius Peppers and pass protection on the game-winning play? How much credit does Kuhn get here?
You know, a fair amount. On those 4th down plays, when they, the 3rd and 1, when they give it to him, those quick hitters, they seem to work better than handing to the halfback who's got to come from a couple yards farther back. It almost hits the defense before they have a chance to get any penetration. And then the block was huge because he got just, from what I watched the replay several times, that looked like he got just enough of Peppers to give Rodgers a chance to get away. I think if he's even just a half tick later, I think Tepper's might get his hands on Rodgers, and that would have been it. Game would have been over.
What's your reaction to the Jared Boykit touchdown on the fumble recovery? Some people might argue the Packers got a cheap touchdown, but I'm still at a loss to explain that play. The whistle never blew, why was Boykin the only one with the presence of mind to recover the football?
I don't know. I asked him, and he just said, that's what you always do in practice is if the ball's there, you grab it. It was funny, one of the Bears writers, a guy, Brad Biggs, has been doing it a long time, he tweeted, you wouldn't see a Lovie Smith defense do that. Because I think some teams have practiced, the Packers have even done this last in training camp, I think they were in the offseason, they were doing it. Even like if there's an incomplete pass, they have the defense treated in practice like a fumble. Mm-hmm. So every play where the ball hits the ground is chaos. Now, I think there's a little risk in doing that because even though they're not diving on fumbles in practice, there's still a lot of collisions. You're risking, somebody getting taken out and, getting their knee taken out or something. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the kind of play where that's why you do it, because if it's just habit, if the ball's on the ground, you go after it like a maniac, then, the Bears would have had first shot at that ball, that's for sure.
We're talking to Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Pete, the Packers defense struggled once again this week. Dom Capers has an 8-1 record against Jay Cutler, but it hardly seemed like Capers got the best of Cutler in this game. Is this a unit that will allow the Packers to win in the playoffs?
I'd be curious to your opinion on this. My thought is probably not. Especially without Matthews, your best defensive guy. I know they went, 3-1 or whatever without him earlier this year. But they're going to be playing good offenses and some of the best quarterbacks in the league now in the playoffs. I mean, you're bound to run into some of those guys. And I have trouble seeing them being able to get enough stops, especially without Matthews. Somewhere in there that just missing that couple games, a couple plays a game that he makes. I think that's going to end up being a backbreaker for him. Not saying that they can't win because, the one guy who matters most is Rodgers, and he's around. He's playing again. Yep. So not saying it's impossible or anything, but I got to think the law of averages is going to catch up to him there.
I have to ask you, did qualifying for the playoffs perhaps save Dom Capers' job? Happens so often where, even if it's not his fault, sometimes people look for a scapegoat and coordinators are fired. Is Dom Capers' job safe, or is it kind of still up in the air depending on what happens in the playoffs?
I wonder the same thing. It's tough to get, and, McCarthy's probably the only one who knows the answer to that. Maybe him and Ted Thompson. My guess is, if things just go really, really poorly against the 49ers, that could make a difference. He's a highly respected guy. He's obviously been a good football coach for a long time. On the other hand, this is a young man's game, even in the coaching business. He's in his 60s, younger and hungrier, could make a difference. I don't know what McCarthy's thinking. I guess, a month ago I was thinking, gosh, I think, they could end up letting him go. Right now I'm inclined to think, I'll bet you McCarthy holds on to him, but, I wouldn't put a lot of money on it either way.
What's up with Eddie Lacy, Pete? The Packers got just enough done on the ground yesterday, but I think it was obvious that Lacy wasn't at least 100%. Is this going to be a problem in the playoffs?
It sure looks like it, doesn't it? I mean, McCarthy, I was reading the transcript. I didn't go to his press conference, but he made it sound like Lacy aggravated the thing again at least two times during the game. So, I mean, that thing is weak. I guess one thing we've learned about Eddie Lacy is he's a tough guy and a gamer, and he'll show up, give you what he's got. So if there were any questions about that, I think those have been answered. James Starks, he looked pretty good, but he better be ready to go for as long as they're alive.
Before we let you go, Pete, we only just learned of the Packers' opponent in the playoffs yesterday. They'll be facing the 49ers at home next Sunday. Can this Packers team hang with the Niners? Do the Packers even deserve to have a home game with an 8-7-1 record?
Obviously they don't. I mean, that's the way the rules are. You win a division, you get it. But the 49ers have a better record. I'm sure if you look up the odds, I got to think the 49ers' odds are better for winning the Super Bowl. Probably not probably one of the worst matchups of all the playoff teams for the Packers. If I were them, I'd rather have Seattle come here. I mean, if you're going to win the NFC, you're probably going to have to beat the Seahawks somewhere along the road, and a lot better chance to beat them in Lambeau in January than out in Seattle. So, but the 49ers are built. I think they're kind of built for, even though they don't play in bad weather, they're cold weather, they're built for it. Really strong defense, good, tough, fast front seven, and they run the balls and have read options. So I got a feeling they're going to they didn't run a lot of read option during the season. I'm sure Harbaugh didn't want to get a lot of hits on Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if they're going to, just like last year in the playoffs, even last year when he was quarterback, they ran it in the regular season, but it was really only a handful of times a game. And then in the playoffs, they really cut him loose. And I wonder if they're going to do the same thing this year.
Interesting thought. Just quickly here, what's the deal on these 40,000 tickets available? What's the reaction to that? What does it say about the season ticket holders that had so little faith that most of them didn't even purchase playoff tickets?
What a shocker, huh? I think it's really funny. I guess I can't. It's hard to blame people. I mean, the Packers looked dead in the water there. No Rodgers. Their record wasn't any good. They were lucky the division came back to them. I mean, that was a huge factor in this. Those things are cheap. So, maybe people. And he wanted to hoard their cash for the holidays. I don't know, but I think it's really interesting, and it's incredibly unusual for, as we all know, for the people who buy the tickets for these games. It's for this team, it's kind of a shocker.
Well, I think they will be scooped up on the secondary market or Ticketmaster or whatever they're going through. But, Pete, I appreciate you joining us on the show this morning. I know it's been a long day, night for you covering the game yesterday, driving back from Chicago. So I appreciate you talking to us on the show this morning.
No, anytime, Brian. Sorry for the scratchy voice, and look forward to talking to you next time.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot. Pete Doherty.
All right,
Yep. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us on Railbird Central this morning. Talk about a Packers win over the Chicago Bears that clinched the NFC North Division title and allows the Packers to host a playoff game. There's always kind of this, Pete and I kind of discussed it a little bit, there's always kind of this debate every year whether seeding in the playoffs should be strictly based on record. It does seem to me, here's the San Francisco 49ers team with a better record than the Packers. Don't they deserve to host a playoff game? The Packers have and Bob McGinn, I know, wrote about this in his day after game column, so in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. The Packers have one of the worst records ever for a division title winner at 8-7-1. There's been a few that have been worse. Just the Seahawks a few years ago, remember, they were 7-9 and won their division. Been a few with 8-8. But there hasn't been many. There's only been like maybe four or five teams in NFL history that have had been a division winner with a worse record. But this game yesterday, and I want to get to this and that game winning drive. It almost maybe puts a damper on it a little bit that the Packers season was so mediocre, I guess. And that's to take nothing away from the big picture in that they, responded to adversity and qualified for the playoffs. But I mean, that game-winning drive to do what they did, all the backstories, Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb missed, pretty much the last 2 months of the season with injuries. They come back and they are the key players in that game-winning touchdown, but the whole drive that led up to that. The Packers converted three fourth downs on that game-winning drive. I mean, how often does that happen? How often do you see, a team convert three fourth downs and a third down on one drive, let alone a drive with so much at stake. A drive to win the game. A drive to win the division. A drive to qualify for the playoffs. All that was at stake on that drive, which is what I find so simply amazing. I just kind of woke up this morning and thought back on it. And you know, I guess I was caught up in the moment as the game was happening, failing to realize the brilliance that happened. But that was quite the drive there at the very end that I am just in awe of today, that happened. And to think, if the Packers were considering punting, they actually had the punt team was going out onto the field on that fourth down that John Kuhn converted. As the story goes, as the players have kind of told the media, they tried to convince Mike McCarthy to go for it on fourth down, and thank goodness they did. I mean, had the Packers punted the ball away at the time, there was roughly about 4 minutes left. I mean, you don't know if you would ever get the ball back and there would have been a chance for the Packers to win the game. But they, you know, they decide to go for it. They convert. John Kuhn, kind of the understated hero, I think, of yesterday's game, converting that fourth down. And then on top of that, just getting enough of Julius Peppers to give Aaron Rodgers time to move out of the pocket and you know, heave that game-winning bomb to Randall Cobb. Just amazing job there by the whole Packers offensive unit to win this game. And again, I asked Pete Doherty about this in the interview, but it's something I wanted to touch on a little bit. And it's I kind of feel bad being a Debbie Downer here on the morning after such a big Packers win. But of course, the Packers defense didn't play all that well yesterday. I think the Bears averaged 9.3 yards per pass. Jay Cutler looked very good, hitting Brandon Marshall on several big throws. They averaged 5.0 yards per carry. Matt Forte got the job done on the ground for the Bears. And it, you know, it's kind of continuing the season-long trend where the Packers defense isn't very good. And I do hate to say this, you know, it takes four games to win the Super Bowl. I think the Packers can be competitive in any game with Aaron Rodgers as long as he's there. But I think there's a good chance that it, one out of four times, the Packers defense is going to let them down. You know, I don't think the Packers defense can, you know, produce at a level that allows the offense to win for four consecutive games. I don't think they're that good of a defense. It pains me to say it. It really pains me to say that. I feel so bad, but that's the way I feel right now, heading into the playoffs right now, that this defense is not going to, you know, be able to get that critical stop that they need at some point. I mean, the Packers could win a game, two games, and then have that defensive letdown. You know, they could get to the NFC Championship and have that letdown. They could get to the Super Bowl and have that letdown, but I think it's inevitable, which pains me to say that. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Packers defense comes up. I'm just not confident that it's going to happen. But of course, in today's day and age, like we were talking about in the preview for this game, it only takes that one play by the defense to really be, you know, that game changer. And they've been getting that from Sam Shields lately. You know, how big has he been with that interception to win on the road against the Dallas Cowboys and then to come back yesterday and kind of have the knockout blow at the end of the game, at the, you know, they basically a Hail Mary. Sam Shields comes away with it to clinch the victory. I mean, how good has he been lately? And that's all it really takes. It is just kind of one turnover that'll change the momentum of the game and turn it in the Packers' favor. And I don't know, can they get that for four straight weeks? Can they get that big play? It would sure be nice if they had a pass rush to complement what's been pretty good coverage in the secondary. They're not perfect. There's been some breakdowns, but there's been an improvement, I think, over, you know, the last month or so. by the Packers defense. I think Sam Shields and Tremont Williams are playing at a high level right now. I think Morgan Burnett, although he, you know, kind of gave up the one touchdown, I think, you know, you would point at him for being the primary responsible guy there. He did come back and he, you know, he had a couple big moments at on that last drive. He tipped away one of those Hail Mary attempts by Jay Cutler, and he had the, you know, the fumble recovery earlier in the game. Speaking of fumbles, yeah, that play. You know, they credit players with half a sack. If kind of two players meet at once at the same time at the quarterback, they'll give away half a sack to one player and half to another. I almost feel that they should give half a forced fumble to Tremont Williams and A.J. Hawk for that play that Morgan Burnett recovered there. I feel as if both of them deserve credit for that forced fumble. You know, it was Tremont Williams who kind of had his hand on the football, but I'm not sure it comes loose without A.J. Hawk hitting the offensive player and creating that. So I think they almost like deserve dual credit there. And so good job by them to, you know, take the ball away mid-game there and regain possession of the football. So, I mean, it is things like that where you just need a couple of those a game, one or two, that can change the whole thing. Like we said, it's the NFL. It's going to be high scoring. The Packers are not going to hold any team out there to, 7 points. It's, you know, it's inevitable. You know, they're going to be high scoring games like this one was, relatively high scoring, I guess, 33-28, not the highest scoring game ever, but I mean, it doesn't surprise you when games are like 45-40, it's par for the course in the NFL. So they're going to give up touchdowns. Now it's a matter of, can this, you know, team, you know, just come up with one or two big plays enough to, you know, to change the tide, turn the tide in favor of the Packers, you know, in a critical situation. I've kind of been harping on this story for a month. I feel like I'm one of the few people out there who are kind of pumping it up. But I think it's such a great story. As of yesterday, as of the end of the game, kicker Mason Crosby earned $800,000 in bonuses yesterday. How do you like that payday? How would you like to be paid in one day earning an $800,000 bonus? But, you know, the big picture here, Mason Crosby was, you know, he took the pay cut early in the season. His base salary was $2.4 million. He agreed to a pay cut, cutting it all the way down to $800,000 guaranteed dollars, with the incentive that based upon his play during the season, he could earn every penny of it back. He could get the $2.4 million, and he did. Mason Crosby earned every penny of his salary back after agreeing voluntarily to take a pay cut of a pay cut of $1.6 million. And he earns every penny of it back by hitting on over 85% of his field goals this season. I think he ended the year with a field goal percentage of 88%. And some people will argue that Mason Crosby ranks something like 16th, 17th, 15th, I don't know the exact number, in the NFL in field goal accuracy. It has been an astronomical year for kickers in the NFL, where it's now almost par for the course that you are converting over 90% of your field goals. Over 90% of your field goals are being made now by over half the league. Amazing. Or right about half the league. But yeah, I think it is such a amazing story that Mason Crosby takes a pay cut, willingful pay cut of $1.6 million. And what I want to know is, how close was Mason Crosby to losing his job? He agreed to this pay cut just days before the season started. just days before the Packers cut their roster down to 53 players. I don't know if Mason Crosby has been asked this or if he has been asked this and he just declined to answer. But think about this for a second. What was it a situation where if Mason Crosby doesn't agree to the pay cut, is he cut by the Packers? Is he released by the Packers? How close was that? Did the Packers come to him and say, Mason, you got to take this pay cut or we're going to have to part ways with you? I can possibly see that situation as having it played out. But I don't know. I'm not sure anybody's asked Mason Crosby. And like I said, maybe if they have, he just kind of declines to answer. It's kind of an embarrassing question. You know, what did it come down to your, you know, being fired basically? But that could have been the case. I can see that happening. Anyway, I do think it's a terrific story, and that's kind of why I harp on it so much. I mean, how many people out there agree to willing pay cuts of $1.6 million and then to come back and earn every penny of it back with incentive-based pay earned in a bonus or several bonuses over the course of the season? Rather remarkable. The Packers special teams, in general, those struggled up a little bit. They gave up some long returns on punt returns and kick returns. Kind of a sore point for the Packers. You know, Devin Hester is certainly a top-notch return man for the Bears, but it gives you pause and wondering, you know, is that going to be the Achilles heel that hurts the Packers in the playoffs? Hopefully not. Hopefully they're just able to, you know, limit the damage. You know, as long as they can prevent touchdowns, maybe that's enough to get them by. But, you know, certainly just a mediocre, probably less than mediocre, a subpar season by the Packers special teams and coordinator Sean Slocum. It seemed for a while that he had those special teams units kind of on the uptick ever since the Packers won the Super Bowl. You know, back in 2010, it kind of seemed like his special teams units were on the rise in 2011, 2012, and then there was a regression this year. So definitely disappointing there. I kind of wonder, maybe is he in the same boat as Dom Capers, where qualifying for the playoffs may have, you know, saved his job or something like that. I don't know. I don't expect the Packers to answer that kind of question, whether, somebody's job comes down to that. Would he have been fired had the Packers lost? I mean, it's all hypothetical situation here anyway, so I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to that, but it does, again, you know, it just these things that give you pause for concern, the defense, the special teams. But it is a day to celebrate the Packers offense and the big moments the defense and special teams had, even though there weren't a lot of them, come up with a couple big ones with turnovers, things like that. Jarrett Bush saving the day on special teams, coming up with a big fumble recovery. Those things were just enough to help the Packers get a victory yesterday. But the job, the story is all about Aaron Rodgers coming back from injury, missing 8 games, and then the last game of the year when everything's on the line, when kind of it's a situation where he doesn't want to get hit. You could definitely see Aaron Rodgers, he was going to avoid those hits as many as possible. You saw in several situations him getting rid of the football before he took a sack, or, you know, sliding. I remember on one sack he just gave himself up. He didn't want to get hit. That the Bears were actually, you know, flagged for an illegal hit that kind of came just a little bit late. Kind of definitely a controversial call there. I think it was on Shane McClellan, right? The same player who originally broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone to begin with at midseason. What was that, week 9? But anyway, yeah, the Packers, just an amazing comeback yesterday to qualify for the playoffs, to win. It can't be understated how they responded to adversity And you know, everybody wonders now, is it going to be a situation like 2010 where the Packers, you know, they had to win this week to even qualify for the playoffs, and now they're going to have to, you know, be the underdog in pretty much every game. They did it in 2010. Can they do it in now 2013, heading into 2014 when New Year's comes? The Packers are actually set up better than they were in 2010, because then they had every game in the playoffs on the road. At least this year, they win the division. They do get a home game against the 49ers. They do have that advantage. That there's that to consider as well. But anyway, folks, I apologize, but we are not going to have a show on Wednesday morning on New Year's Day. I actually doubt whether many of you would actually be listening on New Year's Day at 8:30 a.m. Even if I were to have a show, it's you, the listeners, I'm skeptical of that you would show up at 8:30 a.m. on New Year's Day after, you know, having a good time on New Year's Eve. But nah, it's a holiday. We're taking the day off. I apologize. There will be no show this Wednesday for New Year's Day. But we'll be back on Friday to preview the Packers playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers. So make sure to join us then for the show. But I thank you so much for joining us on a Monday morning here to kind of recap the Packers' victory over the Bears. Thank you to Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette for joining us early on a Monday morning for an early wake-up call to talk a little bit of Packers with us. So, on behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining the show. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll talk to you on Friday. I leave you today with a song called Appropriately, Best Feeling by Keller Williams and the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.